Now, chapter number 4 of 1 Thessalonians is a reminder of the rapture. Now, rapture is not a Bible word. It just means catching away. Actually, the word Bible is not a Bible word. We find here that the rapture, the catching away of Christ, is the catching away by Christ, is the next thing on God's calendar for those of us who are saved. Verse 13 of chapter 4, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So the next event on God's calendar is the rapture, Jesus Christ calling those who are saved to go to heaven. The dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll have 6 feet farther to go. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we get to go to heaven, absent from the body if you die, present with the Lord. If the rapture happens, we'll be taking astronaut lessons. Now, we see here in chapter number 5, the scripture tells us that there would be times and seasons. Look at verse number 1. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So we find here that there are times and there are seasons that we can look and say, we know the Lord's coming back. Now, Paul believed the Lord was coming back in his day. Look back to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I believe that every generation of Christians ought to believe the Lord's coming back in their day, because the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. It could be at any time. It could be today. And we find that some of the things that are indicative of being in the season and having these times upon us are given in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Look at verse number 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now think about this list and just think about what's going on in the world. "For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." So we find that this is a list of things that would be going on when the Lord says there are times and seasons. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and then we'll talk about these things here. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." I'll read one additional verse here, and it is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse number 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And it goes on and it gives more. But here are some indications of what we can expect in the last days. And as we look around, we certainly see that as you see the news around you, as you look at our society, as it crumbles around us. And I believe Paul, of course, believed the Lord was coming back in his day. That's why I use the word, "then we which are alive and remain." And I think we ought to always be looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not hard to see that we are in this season. All the signs are fulfilled. There's not a sign left for the Lord to come back. All the prophecies are complete. Now, in our text, the scripture gives a clear picture of the differences and the responsibilities that God gives to the children of light. I want you to look at our passage of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 5. Verse number 5, I just wrote down, I was studying this week, and I wrote down, here's a key verse of the chapter, verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Here's a clear contrast. Children of the light, children of the day. Children of the night, children of darkness. It's talking about saved people who know Christ, and they're going to heaven, and lost people who do not yet know Christ, and they're going to hell. So there's a clear contrast. It is light versus darkness. It is day versus night. It's the children of light, the children of the day, versus those who are of the night and of darkness. You know, all of us were children of darkness before we were saved. So we have to be careful about looking down our nose at somebody who's lost. They need to be saved. But I want to think about something this morning. Did you ever work third shift? Anybody ever work third shift? Okay, I worked third shift a few times. It takes a very special person to do that. I am not one of them, okay? Or maybe you work two jobs, okay? And you're working and you got a schedule and it's just, you know, you're running on minutes. I mean, you just have to do this and that. And you work third shift and you go to sleep when everybody else is awake and your whole life is disoriented. And did you ever wake up and you wondered, okay, so you wake up and you look outside and you're like, oh my, is it dusk? Or is it dawn? It's kind of like kind of gray, right? You're like, where am I supposed to be right now? You're like, I don't know what time it is. Did I miss a shift, right? Did I miss going to work? Did I miss going to school? Did I miss all these errands I had to do because I only have a little bit of time? And you're like, kind of, you know, wow, what day is it? Now, in our society today, we don't have that leisure. We don't look and say, wow, I mean, is it light? Is it dark, right? Is it morning? Is it evening? I don't know. Where's the sun? What side of the house is the sun on, okay? The lines are crystal clear. It is day and it is night. It's noon or it's midnight. Zechariah chapter number 5. I'm just going to read you a verse here. I was listening to the Bible on my phone the other day. And a verse just jumped out at me. And I'd never heard that verse before, that little phrase in the Bible. I was listening to Zechariah chapter 5 and verse number 8. An angel was talking here to the prophet. Verse number 8 says, and he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. This is wickedness. Now, the message was from an angel who is a messenger from God from heaven. And he said to the prophet, this is wickedness. You know, you don't hear that anymore. You don't hear that anymore. Everything is just kind of, you know, whatever. You know, I was really amazed this past week. Down in Panama, they haven't figured it out. They only have two genders down there. I was like, what? You guys are so far behind the times. I mean, there's like at least 64, right? They have two genders. I didn't see anybody with purple hair. I didn't see any homosexuals or lesbians, you know, openly flaunting, you know. I mean, didn't see any of that. I thought, these people are way behind the times. I saw one guy smoking a cigarette. He was an American tourist. You know, I'm sure there were a lot of other sins going on, right? But it was different. It was different. I had to come back and get reintegrated slowly. We are immersed in a culture of diversity, equity, and inclusion. DEI, that's the little catchphrase they use, right? So they're training people in diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, that thing of tolerance. Remember that a few years ago? The only thing they don't tolerate is this book right here. The only thing they don't tolerate is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing they don't tolerate. Everything else is free game. Now, why do we have these campus communists? You know, I've been in a news blackout. It's been kind of nice. And, but you know, you have all these people in Harvard, right, MIT, right, Columbia University, all these different campuses, and they're all these college students or these rabble-rousers. It's just a Black Lives people with new banners and, you know, different, hi, you all right? Okay, hurry back, then sit down, okay? All right, nobody else get up now, okay? You're on a moratorium, and you can't go to the bathroom, okay, for half an hour, okay? If you go to the bathroom, I'm going to add 10 minutes onto the sermon, okay? All right. Now, Where was I? Oh, here's why. Galatians chapter 6. Here's why. So you have all these people, and they're protesting against Israel. And they're protesting, they're pro-Palestinian, right? And they're pro-Hamas. I've been over there. Some of you have been over there, okay? It's real. Here's why our culture hates Israel. Notice the flag right here, okay? We don't. We love Israel, amen? Here's why. Galatians 6, verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel, that's the next two words, of God, okay? The Israel of God. Israel is God's chosen nation. They're arrogant, they're conceited, they're stuck up, right? They're self-righteous. And God said, I chose you. Why? I don't know. He wanted to, okay? It's not my thing to deal with God, but the Israel of God. The reason that people hate Israel, don't miss it, is because they hate God. It's just that simple. Do you realize that 5,712 times in your Bible, the God of Israel is mentioned in that context? The God of Israel. It's equated to him, okay? It's his country. Are they all saved? No. Do they know Christ? No. Their eyes are blinded right now. But you look at what God did through Israel, in spite of Israel, because of Israel. One day Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of David. That's from Israel. The Star of David is on their flag, right? Israel is equated with God in the Bible. People hate Israel because they hate God. 5,712 times in the Bible. Now, when people hate God and there's a vacuum where God used to be, okay, it's different than when you grew up, right? It's different than when your grandparents grew up. There's a vacuum of God in our culture today. Nature abhors a vacuum. You've heard that before. So it fills with something. When there's a vacuum where God used to be, it's not a surprise when it's filled up with lovers and sympathizers of Allah who would torture women, murder innocents, and burn babies in ovens. It's not a surprise. I had a conversation with the guy down here on the corner. He was waving one of those flags, right? I was just stuck at the crosswalk, and so I hit the walk button. I was just going to ignore him, right? And so I just asked him about that. I'm like, why do you support people who threw babies in ovens? And he, after the crosswalk button didn't work like four times, he goes, why don't you just step out in front of traffic? That's what he told me. I'm like, you want me to die? He wouldn't mind if I did, but, you know, we had a conversation. Now, you look at that and you think, wait a minute, what's wrong with people? They hate God. The people defending these cold-blooded, depraved killers, I wrote it down so I'd say it just the right way, on our college campuses are so warped that they defy American law enforcement by calling them Nazis. Did you see that this week? They called American law enforcement Nazis. The Nazis are the ones who persecuted the Jews. And they probably even would deny the Holocaust if you asked them about it. And they're so backwards and warped in their thinking, that's where they are. Now, unfortunately, if we were to give a verse that would most accurately describe post-Christian America in 2024, it would be Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20, and it says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong wine, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him! Exclamation mark. That's where we're at today in our society. Now, we would expect the children of the night, lost without Christ. Maybe, you know, the Bible even says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Amen. Thank God we're not what we used to be. Thank God we're not going to be what we are. But we have to understand that the folks who are lost without Christ, we would expect the children of the night to walk in darkness. But it is unfortunate when the children of the light walk in darkness. We're not children of the darkness. We're not children of night. We're saved. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you get moved to another category. You're a child of the day now. You're a child of the light now. So what are we supposed to do? Well, the Bible tells us. Let's look at a command and get some clarity. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And one verse. Verse number 8. For ye were sometimes, what? Darkness. We were all lost without Christ at one time. But you were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. When does that happen? When he gets saved. So we used to be lost. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Right? That's a pretty common song, Amazing Grace. We were once a child of darkness. Now we're a child of light. Now what's the command? Walk as children of light. Now keep your place there. Put a marker in there. Put your finger in there. Put your neighbor's finger in there. Okay? Keep your place there. Now the pivotal verse of our text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look back there. Is verse number 8. So at salvation, we go from being a child of darkness to a child of what? Light. And we are to walk as children of light. The pivotal verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Does that sound familiar? If you have that marker in Ephesians, look at chapter 6. You're in chapter 5. Look at chapter 6, verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice the darkness. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're to take the whole armor of God. You get the helmet of salvation when you trust Christ as your Savior. You know, some people, that's all they have. They're spiritual streakers. They have the helmet of salvation, and they never added anything else. They're supposed to have the whole armor of God. Everything. You need everything. You're not just going to survive with a helmet. You need the breastplate of righteousness. You need the shield of faith. You need the sword of the Spirit. You need your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need every piece of that armor. We need to hold it together with prayer, all prayer. The children of the light and children of the day are those of us who are saved. We're born again. We're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We've accepted the gift of God, eternal life, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing on him by grace through faith to take us to heaven. If that's your case, you're a child of the light today. And what's the Bible say? Walk as children of light. If you still kept your marker there, I lost mine. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at what precedes verse number 8. Verse number 8 we read, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look at verse number 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, but walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Then it goes into the verse. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to be different. We have a different marching orders. As a child of light, we are to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. As a child of light, we are to operate by a different system. As a child of light, We are to have this Bible as our manual. Walking as a child of light deals with our conduct. Walking as a child of light is us following God. That's the first verse. We're to follow God as dear children. It encompasses our behavior, our language, and our thought life. Doesn't the Bible say he understandeth our thoughts afar off? God knows our thoughts. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our thoughts determine our actions. So we are to control our thoughts, our language, our behavior, every area of our life, our motives. God is interested in our thoughts. God is interested in our thoughts. A pastor that I know, a nice guy, we're on friendly terms. He's not a Baptist. But this week, he was publicly bragging about how his daughters listened to Taylor Swift. And I thought, as a Christian, that's nothing to be bragging about. As a pastor, the first requirement of a pastor is blameless. A pastor is supposed to have his children in subjection. That's not to him, that's to God. Now, the Bible says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, virtue is consistent purity from the beginning all the way through to the end. And if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, I wrote down just a couple things. And I want to say them just right. Taylor Swift is an ungodly, sensual, sinful seductress. Zechariah 5:8 would apply. This is wickedness. If you listen to Taylor Swift or let your children listen to Taylor Swift, you are not right with God. This is a sin. So I decided, you know what? I've never listened to Taylor Swift's music. I couldn't pick out one. If I heard it in a store, I wouldn't know what it was. So I decided I was going to look up some lyrics this morning at breakfast. So the first song I looked, at, probably alphabetical order, All Too Well, you might know it, has a swear word right in it. I mean, just if I said it from the pulpit, you'd fire me, and you should, okay? But you listen to it, or you let your kids listen to it. And I didn't have to look far to find it. I looked at another one called Thank You, Amy, and it has another swear word in it, same swear word. It's just, and she's the hero of most Americans. She's not a hero with God. It's fornication put to music is what it is. Now, I stopped after those two songs. I said, you know, I don't need to know anymore. I got enough to prove my case. Why would you defend that? How can you defend Taylor Swift? I'll defend Jesus Christ. I'll defend Philippians 4:8. If you want to defend Taylor Swift, then you take it up with God when you see him. You got that garbage in your life, get rid of it. If you're the pastor and you're watching this, get it out of your house or, sir, resign. Thank you. Now, point number three. John chapter 1. John chapter number 1, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We know that. He said he was the light of the world. John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And it was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know the context of John chapter 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He tells him several times, ye must be born again. In verse number 19, he says this, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What's that say? It's saying if you don't like Jesus Christ, you won't come to him, because he's going to show what you are. He's going to reprove you. He's going to reveal to you your sinfulness. You can't stand next to Jesus Christ and have open, unconfessed sin in your life and feel good about it. What would people do? People would rather crucify Jesus and live with Barabbas because they loved their sin. Didn't they do that? I mean, Barabbas was a murderer. And they said, give us Jesus. Crucify Jesus. Give us Barabbas. They'd rather have him than Jesus Christ. People would rather stumble in darkness than walk in light. You know, when you have Jesus Christ, there's a responsibility, isn't there? When you trust Christ as your Savior, there's a responsibility. Walk as children of light. We are responsible to obey God, to obey the Word of God, to obey our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are commanded to follow Him. We are commanded to obey Him. We have a book of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. You know, when you check the Ten Commandments, did you know 8 of them are negative? Oh, that's so negative, Pastor. I can't believe you'd say something negative from the pulpit. You know, you like negative. If you take your negative terminal off your battery out there on your car, it won't start. Right? Take the black terminal off. You have to have both, negative and positive, right? It makes a circuit. Thou shalt not, 8 times out of 10. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, right? Thou honor thy father and thy mother. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Everything else is negative. Thou shalt not. Well, I just don't like negative. Okay, no, you do like negative. That's why they won't use them in school, because they'll have people living for God. They throw the Ten Commandments out of school. That's why they don't have them on the courthouse. We've got all the problems that we have. Look at John chapter 12. We are to believe in the light, that's Jesus Christ, for salvation. John chapter 12 and verse number 36. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Believe in the light, number one, for salvation. Believe Christ as your Savior. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He died for you. He shed His blood for you. He was buried and rose again to take you to heaven. Believe Him for salvation. Then believe Him for guidance, leadership, and direction. Did you ever get lost? I have a habit of getting lost when I go hunting. So nobody wants to go hunting with me. But it's kind of good. If they don't like me, they won't see me for a while. Okay? Did you ever get lost and you had a compass? And sometimes you get out somewhere and you think, no, that way has to be north. No, that way is not north. That way is south. Okay? I know that. It's interesting. Our first church building, I preached facing west. Our second church building, I preached facing north. Our third church building, I preached facing east. Our fourth church building, I preached facing south. We got all the directions in there, right? Our fifth one, I don't know what we're going to do, right? we'll preach up, okay? But I was here at the church yesterday, and there was a lady, and she's running across the parking lot, and she had these two little girls. My dad was with me. She had these two little girls, and they were going to, I don't know what they were going to, some play or something. They're all dressed up, you know, look like princesses or something. And she's running across the parking lot, and she goes, oh! We're going to be late. I don't know where it is. And she had like high heels on, right? She's going over here to the Red Arrow. So I'm over here and I said, do you need to find something? She said, yeah, which way is the Palace Theater, right? I should have said, that's that way. No, that would be nice. I said, it's the other way. She said, my husband dropped me off and I don't know where he parked. And I'm all turned around. I said, you go that way right here, right through the courthouse. It's on Hanover Street in the other block, okay? Now, she would have kept running that way and she would have never found it. She would have been lost and she would have had to ask directions, right? Did you ever get lost? And you thought you were right. Husbands are good at that, right? Honey, are you lost? No, I'm not lost. You know, 20 miles later, you finally stop to get gas because you really want to ask directions, right? No, I'm not lost. I've been lost here before, right? Trust the compass. The compass isn't going to steer you wrong. This is your compass right here. Hey, we look at the world and we think, you know, I don't know, it looks like everything says north, and God says, no, this way is north. But everybody else is running that way. Trust the compass. Trust the Word of God. Come to the light and trust direction. We are going to more than ever have to follow this book. Psalms 119, you know the verse. Thy word is a what? A lamp unto my feet and a what? A light unto my path. The lamp under your feet is kind of like a flashlight if you're shining it for your next step. The light under your path, you take one of those Coleman lanterns, and the higher you lift it, the farther you can see. Thy word is a lamp under my feet. God will show you the next step. And as you take it, and the more you lift it up in your life, a lamp under my path. Hey, in this darkness, never one time have I turned on a flashlight and the darkness swallowed it up. Never. Light always dispels darkness. Jesus Christ always dispels any darkness. Jesus Christ always wins. What we have to do is shine that light everywhere we can. Hey, when you turn on the light, the cockroaches always run, don't they? Maybe you never lived in a place like that, but I did. We used to step on them at night, right? Keep that light on. Guess what? They hide under the refrigerator. Leave them there, okay? Let me give you quickly some benefits of walking in the light. Just quickly, number one. When you walk in the light, you can see where you're going. We're children of light. What are we supposed to do? Walk in the light. Walk as children of light. You can see where you're going. You can actually get somewhere and make progress. When you walk in the light, you ever go outside and in the darkness, maybe, I don't know, maybe take the dog outside or something, and there's that hole in the yard, right? Oh, you fell in it, right? Because you didn't see it. You walk in the darkness. You stumble and fall. The Bible says that. You ever drive without headlights? Okay, don't try this at home. You drive without headlights, you can't see very much. You can't see where you're going. You go real slow. Some people go real fast, and I always wonder, why are you doing that? You ever walk somewhere blindfolded? You can't see where you're going. You have to feel, right? You have to touch everything around you. Why? Because it's dark. Number one, when you walk in the light, you can see where you're going. Number two, when you walk in the light, you can help others. You know, if you're walking in darkness, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm walking in darkness. You're not going to help everyone else to walk in the light when you're walking in darkness. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse number 14, that some were blind leaders of the blind. And he said, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Don't walk in darkness. Look at 1 John chapter number 1, right there at the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter number 1, there are benefits to walking in the light. You can see where you're going. Number 2, you can help others. Number 3, walking in the light gives you proper fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have fellowship with Jesus Christ. God is light. If I'm walking in darkness, God is not going to walk in darkness to walk with me. He'll invite me to walk in light with him, but he's not going to turn around and walk in sin. So when we walk in the light, it gives us proper fellowship. Fellowship with Jesus Christ. When you walk in the light, Jesus Christ is your constant companion. You know, you may need him someday. Don't have to go find him. Walk in the light every day. And then you have fellowship with others who are walking in the light and with the Lord. Isn't it great to have Christian friends? I had a thought this week. I said, you know what? I am the most loved pastor in the world. Isn't that great? If you don't love me, don't tell me, okay? Because I don't know it. I just feel like, I don't know, everybody loves me, right? I come to church, everybody loves me. You're smiling. It's real. Yeah. I thought, you know, this is great, isn't it? I mean, walking in the light, fellowshipping with everybody here, fellowshipping with my Christian friends, right, who walk in the light. What a great companionship it has from here till we get to heaven. Isn't that encouraging? That's encouraging. It gives us the proper fellowship. So when we walk with the Lord, we have a group of other people who are walking with the Lord. And we have their friendship and their companionship and their fellowship. Last thing is this. What does light do? Light declares your position. Like a lighthouse. It declares your position. Why do they put lights on ships? So nobody crashes into them, right? You declare your position. You say, you know what? I am going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a child of light. I am going to walk as light. Nobody's going to wonder. I wonder if they're a Christian or not. Look, you don't have to go around carrying a family Bible, right? Carrying a family Bible. Hey, I used to go to work. I used to work with you guys, right? I used to walk into work every day. I'd bring the Bible, I'd put it on the table. I didn't get up on the table, I didn't preach a sermon, right? Not supposed to do that, you're there to work. But at break time, I could take my Bible out and read it. You know, you'd be amazed how many people at break time, after the whistle blows and everybody goes to the cafeteria, they come over after a while and they say, "Hey, could you pray for my mom?" I'm like, "Sure. My mom has cancer." And they give me the name of their mom, right? They know what jokes you tell. They know what you listen to. They watch you. They know. Light declares your position. We need to be bright. In this dark world, we need to shine as children of light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this.